Well, I want to look this morning at Matthew chapter 8. We read the first 17 verses. In particular, I want to look at the first four verses this morning. The first four verses, this account of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching out and touching and healing a man with leprosy. Now, I think I would start simply just by trying to bring something of the by setting the scene a little bit on this. We're at something of a disadvantage, naturally, when we read a passage like this. I see there are one or two children still here this morning. And I expect if I were to say to you, children, have you ever met someone with leprosy? Is there anyone in your class at school with leprosy? Is there anyone in your family with leprosy? And in fact, if I broaden the question to all of us, do you know anyone living on your street or in your office with leprosy? I expect the answer would be no. Now, I know probably I'm going to have a long list of line of people coming and queuing to me and saying that they've been to Africa and they've met. I know it still exists in places, but by and large, it's not here in this country. We've got a cure for leprosy. Now, the reason I say that is because it puts it as a disadvantage when we read a passage like this. The people, you know, in first century Israel who would have read these words for the first time, who would have heard them being read, when they hear about a man with leprosy, they would have known people with leprosy. Their minds would have gone immediately to, oh yeah, I know the person who lives, who sits at the end of my street, who begs. I know someone in my family, someone in someone else's family, my friend, they would have thought of people, they'd have known about what this condition is really like. So we've got to do a bit of groundwork this morning to understand what it meant to have leprosy in first century Israel. But in order to do that, actually, we need to take a further step back in time. And we've got to ask ourselves this question: what is the significance in the Bible of this disease? And to do that, we've actually got to go back to the Old Testament and ask, what's the significance of leprosy there? So that's something where we're headed this morning. Three things: leprosy in Old Testament times, leprosy in New Testament times, and thirdly, leprosy today. So firstly, leprosy in Old Testament times, to get the context of what we're looking at this morning. Now, the first thing we need to say is this. In the Old Testament, if someone had leprosy, it was not usually the direct result of personal sin. I know if your mind is working quickly and you know your Bibles, you're going to start trying to think of exceptions to the rule, and you probably can think of one or two. But by and large, people did not have leprosy because of a particular sin, particular thing that had happened that they'd done. And being a leper didn't exclude you from salvation. It made things hard for you. You had to be outside the camp of Israel. You couldn't offer sacrifices or attend worship. There were things you couldn't do, but you could still be a believer. Rather, having leprosy simply made you unclean. But again, we've got to define what we mean, or what the Bible means by unclean. I think when we start to think about being unclean, we probably think, well, doesn't that mean, if you're unclean, doesn't that mean you've sinned? You've done something wrong? But actually, that wasn't the case. I think I can prove my point by giving you a couple of examples. A woman after childbirth would be unclean for a set period of time. But she's not sinned in giving birth. There's nothing wrong with giving birth. Another example, you'd be unclean for a day if you touched the carcass of a dead animal. But it wasn't wrong to do it. It was simply that you were unclean for a short period of time. So what does this clean, unclean, what do these categories mean? Well, God put them there. God gave them to his people to teach them spiritual concepts. And in particular, to teach them about sin and purity. So you mentioned about a woman after childbirth being unclean. And that was a reminder. It was to be a visible reminder that childbirth entered the world. It goes back to Genesis 3, that painful childbirth would now be a regular occurrence, that it would be painful now because of the fall, because of sin, because of what sin's done. Talked about touching a dead animal. Again, someone would be unclean because they would be a visible reminder that death entered the world when the curse came, when sin entered the world, that now there is death all around us. So a man or a woman would be unclean when the results of the fall were vividly, physically manifested, when you could see it. It wasn't the result of personal sin. It was God reminding them of the need for purity, separation, holiness, reminding them of what sin is really like. And there's no clearer example, I'd argue, of this in the Old Testament than leprosy or skin diseases more generally. Now the laws and the main passage to look at on this subject in the Old Testament is Leviticus 13 and 14. You could turn there, you might want to turn there, but I'll warn you in advance, it's not pleasant reading. You can by all means turn and skim and see what those verses are talking about and setting out the various rules and conditions about leprosy. But if it puts you off your Sunday lunch, well, don't tell me I didn't warn you. It's not pleasant reading. It talks about boils and different coloured hairs and raw flesh and spots and all the different effects this disease would have. It's not pleasant reading, but then this wasn't a pleasant disease. It was a condition that made the skin go scaly and discoloured. It would actually change the colour of the skin. The skin would become contorted and bumpy. The wounds would sometimes erupt onto the skin, through the skin, and reveal raw flesh. They'd start to smell these wounds. The lining in your throat would be affected. You couldn't even talk clearly sometimes. And even when those wounds started to heal, they'd leave scars and permanent wounds on the skin. This was not a pleasant condition to have. And yet this was God's way of teaching his people moral, spiritual concepts. Because, here's the key, leprosy displayed on the outside what the heart is like on the inside. God used this disease to teach his people the effect of sin, what sin is really like, what the heart is really like. That it's, there's an ugliness about it. That's what sin is like. It's ugly. It causes wounds and scars. It's hideous to look at. Talked about how sometimes the wounds would erupt and the raw flesh would be visible. Or for a while it was perhaps beneath the surface and then it comes out. And that's what sin can be like sometimes. You get used to hiding things, keeping things to yourself. We become very good at being able to pretend that everything's going okay, that we're decent people, that we don't do these sorts of things. We don't think that way. And yet, God's saying, this is the picture of what we're really like. And sometimes our sin does erupt and people see it. So you can think of times when people have seen what you're really like. They've got a glimpse into something you've said or done in it, and it revealed what your heart is really like. It showed what you were thinking. And there's a shame there, isn't it? You feel so ashamed. And yet that's the picture. The picture shows us what our hearts are like. It's the picture. Sin makes us look like a leper before God. So that's leprosy in the Old Testament. That's what God was doing. He was using it to teach his people that that's what we're like. That's what our hearts are like. It's not pleasant. It's unattractive to think about. He's saying that's the reality. There's an ugliness there. So that's the first thing. Leprosy in Old Testament times. Secondly, leprosy in New Testament times. Now bear in mind, all we have to do is flick forward a few pages in our Bibles, but we're actually moving forward many centuries as we move into the New Testament and as we move into Matthew chapter 8. And during those centuries, the teaching of Israel about leprosy had become distorted and twisted. And so in the time that Jesus is living, the religious leaders, the rabbis and so on, had actually gone full circle. And they were teaching that if you had this disease, it was the direct result of something you had done. You'd sinned, and it was particular types of things, particular embarrassing, terrible sins. I said, if you've done these things, well, that's why you've got this disease. That's what they were teaching. I suppose you wonder why. Why would you do something as cruel as that? And why would you go against the scriptures when that's not what the Old Testament is showing? Well, I think it's for this reason. You know, with the rabbis and the Pharisees, you read at times in the New Testament, don't you, about how they've created all these extra laws, these rules that the people have to abide to. And by following themselves, they get to come across as particularly holy and good people. And I think what they're actually doing is deflecting the issue away from the real issue, which is the heart. What's the heart like? That's what leprosy was there to teach. And they're twisting it away from that so you don't have to ask that question anymore. So they didn't have to think about what their hearts were really like. It's interesting reading the Jewish writers, some of the other writers of the day. And they tell us about what the attitude these rabbis had towards people with leprosy. And it makes quite incredible reading. So there's one rabbi who boasted, "I don't even buy eggs on the same street where there's a leper. I wouldn't even buy eggs from that street." Another rabbi proudly proclaimed, "When I see a leper, I throw stones at him. Keep him as far away as I can." And it distracted people from the real issue. Because instead, when they were meant to see a leper, it was meant to be a reminder to say, what's my heart like? It's a reminder to examine yourself. What's my heart like? Remember what I'm like without God. Well, we've done something of the groundwork. And now we can come to actually look at these verses and what's happening in Matthew 8. Jesus comes down from the mountain and a great crowd follows him. And a leper comes to him and kneels before him and says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." There's other accounts of this in Mark chapter 1. It says he kneels down before him. In Luke 5, it says the man actually fell down on his face and says, "Lord, you can make me clean." Now that in itself, for this man, was a tremendous act of faith. Again, the Jewish teaching of the day was for a leper to be healed was the equivalent of being raised from the dead. In other words, you don't expect it to happen to you. And yet this man comes to Jesus and says, "You can make me clean. I believe you can do it." And Jesus responds. He reaches out his hand. He says, "I will. I'm willing." He says, "Be clean." And he reached out his hand and touched him. And if you were a man living in first century Israel, the last thing you would ever do is touch a man with leprosy. Think of the rabbis staying away, throwing stones to keep this man away. Jesus not only looks at him, stands close to him, talks to him, he touches this man. Now remember, at this stage in his ministry, we've read, haven't we, he's got crowds following him. He doesn't need this man. He's got all these other people following him, hanging on his every word. And yet when this man comes to him, he reaches out and touches. In Mark's account of this event, he tells us that when Jesus saw this man, he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion when he saw the state this man was in. When he saw the disease, when he saw how people were treating him. Moved with compassion. When everyone else around him, it seems, was thinking the opposite way. There was no compassion there. And so Jesus tells the man to go. He touches him. And then he tells him to be clean. He says, "I will be clean." And he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded." It's something that takes us again back to Leviticus 14, that if someone was thought to be clean, to be cleansed and healed of leprosy, they'd go and present themselves to the priest, and the priest would check and say, "Yep, I agree, the disease is gone, you can enter normal society again, you can live amongst everyone else again," and they would release this living bird into the field. So the priest would give this confirmation. Yes, healing has occurred. So Jesus is saying, go and do what the scriptures tell you to do now. You are clean. Go and follow these laws. This is a chapter, then. Taking these 17 verses more broadly now, that make us think about Jesus' healing ministry. We read not just about this man with leprosy. We read about a servant who's paralyzed. We read about Peter's mother-in-law in verse 14. We read about people who were demon-possessed. We read in verse 16 about all those who were sick. And then Matthew gives his summary in verse 17, quoting from Isaiah. It's to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." That's what Jesus is doing when he reaches out and touches this man. Because remember, leprosy is a picture. It's a picture of sin, of how it taints every part of the human heart. And Matthew's saying, what this man is doing, is Jesus, is he's reaching out and taking that sin, bearing our illnesses, our diseases upon himself. That's what he's doing. It makes you think when you think back to Isaiah 53. Again, it's the same thing, isn't it? He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. No beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. and we esteemed him not. When you read Isaiah 53, really those verses seem to describe, in one sense, someone with leprosy. Someone who's without form, without majesty. Someone without any sort of beauty. Someone who's not esteemed. Someone who's been rejected. And yet what Christ is doing is becoming as a leper for our sakes, bearing our illnesses. That's what he's doing. He's reaching out. He's touching. It doesn't get much messier to touch a man with leprosy. And that's what Jesus continues to do. He reaches out and deals with the ugly, smelly, unattractive, foul things in our hearts. And he takes them upon himself as he goes to the cross. That's what happened when he went to the cross to die for his people. Even he became disfigured. His form was marred beyond human likeness. I think it takes us to 2 Corinthians 5. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what he's doing. He's becoming what that man, that leper, represented. He's becoming an offering for sin, for our sake. It's an incredible thing that's what he's done. He's taken our illnesses upon himself. And that great exchange that happened at the cross. Well, thirdly, finally, leprosy today. And there are two questions I want to ask. Firstly, does Jesus heal lepers today? I hope by now you'll realise that I'm not talking particularly about the skin disease itself, but about what it represents in the Bible. We've said that leprosy represents on the outside what our hearts are like on the inside. That without God, without Christ coming to us, our hearts are selfish and foul. And however hard we try, we can't cure our hearts. Not only that, you can't hide what your heart is really like. You can hide it from everyone else in this room this morning, but you can't hide it from God. You may be able to fool everyone else here. You can't fool God. He sees your heart. He knows what you're really like. He sees every flaw, every ugly thought, every act of selfishness. He sees it. You can't hide these things from him. Perhaps you're becoming more and more aware of that. More and more aware that these are things you can't sort out. Too big for you to deal with. And the question is, would Christ do these things for me? Would he deal with me? With the things I've done? The things I've said? So you're thinking, I've spurned Christ again and again. Why is he going to be interested in someone like me now? But these verses are here in the Bible to say Christ is still willing. He's willing to reach out and touch you. In whatever condition you find yourself this morning, he's willing to reach out and say, be clean. Only he can do it. There's no other cure. Christ has the power and the willingness to make you clean before your Creator. He's willing, but you have to do what this man did. To come and kneel down and bow down before him and ask him. You need to actually come to him and ask him to make you clean. They thought, I don't want to be this way anymore. I'm going to turn away from that way of living. I believe only Christ can do it. Lord Jesus, will you make me clean? And Jesus' response to someone saying that to him will always be, I am willing. Be clean. That's the first question. Does Jesus heal lepers today? Second question. How are we to continue Jesus' ministry of healing lepers? I'm convinced that as a church, you want to see Jesus' healing touch. You want to see it reach many people's lives. You want to see people being made clean by the power of Christ. How do you do it? You can't... I don't think any of you can go into the hospital and start touching people, making them better. If you can, please go and start. But providing that's not the case, what do you do to continue Christ's ministry of touching, of healing lepers? And there's one thing I want to say. If you want to see Jesus reaching out and mending broken lives here, in this area, in Newport, then you have to be willing to reach out and touch the untouchable. Let's be blunt. There are some people in our society who no one wants to go near, who no one would give the time of day to. There are some people who have committed terrible, disgusting crimes, and no one wants anything to do with them. Would you be willing to have anything to do with people like that? If they came into church, would you talk to them face to face? If they're crying, if they're hurt, they need a shoulder to cry on, would you even touch someone who perhaps even repels you and you're repulsed by? Jesus reaches out and touches. And there are all kinds of people in our country today and in this town who are hurting, who are lonely, who feel rejected. And Christ says, I want to reach them. I want them to be made clean. There are times when that's going to get messy. When you're dealing with people, with real lives, it means sometimes the reality of sin, the tangled web that people's lives can spin, it can become so complex and messy, and you just don't know what to do sometimes. It gets messy. You've got to be prepared for that. It's easy just to turn away and think, well, that's too complex for me. That's too messy for me. What did Jesus do? Rolled up his sleeves and he got his hands dirty. He touched when no one else wanted to touch. What's the motive for us for doing this? And we'll close with this. What's our motive? Well, I think it takes us back to what we've been saying all the way through about what this disease represents. When you look at this condition and how awful leprosy was, It's a reminder to you, if you know Christ, that is what my heart was like. I was a sinner. There was an ugliness within me. I had no thought for my Creator. And I had this disease that I could not cure. Try as I might, there was nothing I could do about it. I was in a hopeless position. But then Christ came to me. He intervened in what was an utterly hopeless situation. Christ came and he touched me and he made me clean. He made me well. He brought me to know God, that I have peace with him. He made me righteous in God's sight. I never used to be like that. I was nowhere near righteous in God's sight. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what you've got to constantly remember. That's the point of this disease. Remember what you were. Remember that it's only that Christ came and touched you. That's the only reason you are what you are. To give thanks again and again for that. Amen.